Well, good morning to everyone. Okay. Good morning to everyone who came out here this morning to worship God with one another, Christians, and worship God with each other. And I'm thankful that I can be here, and we traveled safely from Athens. We got a lot of snow and ice up there, so I'm thankful that God let us come here safely to meet together with everyone. As was mentioned, my name's Ty, not Todd. So if I tell you, I have a southern accent, so it's kind of hard to understand, but it's T-Y, not Todd. So just want to go ahead and clarify that so everyone will know, so I don't have to say it to everyone individually. But anyway, so if you would go ahead and open your Bibles to James chapter 4. That's where we're going to begin our study. James chapter 4. We're just going to read verses 1 through 10. And as we go through this passage, if you will, let's focus on these words as God speaks to us. And I want us to, kind of what I've titled this as we go through this, you know, the little heading says, mine says, warning against worldliness. But that's just the first half of it. Verse 1 through 5 talks about that. But in the second half, verse 6 through 10, is how God gives us a way that we can get away from the world. How God gives us a way to be with Him. He gives us a better way to submit to Him. So as we go through this, let's look at that transition. So first I want to read verse 1 through 6, or 1 through 5, and then we're going to tie that into verse 6 through 10. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to that passage. If you're already there, that's good. So let's go ahead and read James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war with you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your passions, you adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made us made to dwell in us? Now let's look at the transition here that James gives us. Verse 6, but he gives us more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So in verse 1 through 5, the first section is the world and what's of the world, the sin, Satan, the devil. And then secondly, we have verses 6 through 10, God and ways that he gives us to draw closer to him. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. So now I want to ask, what is our relationship like with the world? I know a lot of us here are Christians. Some here may not be, but I think James is also can be talking to both unbelievers and believers, because unbelievers are of the world, but us believers as Christians, we're still flesh. We're still human. We have the world that always pulls at us. Whether we're centered on God, focused on Him always, we're still human, and we still live in this fleshly world. So that's going to be pulling us constantly through our lives. That's a battle that we have, a physical and spiritual battle. So, you know, I want a lot of things in this world. A lot of us do. We have goals and things in mind that we'd like to accomplish. But a lot of us here, our main goal is to be a child of God, is to become a Christian. And it's hard sometimes when we do have a lot of distractions of this world. You know, it's easy for me, as I was preparing for this sermon, it was easy for me if I got a text or if I got a notification on my phone, I could just pull it out and look at it real quick. I was like, oh, well, let me see what's happening on this. Well, let me go ahead and see what's happening on this too. And then before you know it, I've already spent an hour looking at things that doesn't really get me anywhere. It's pointless and it's useless. I want to check the scores of the game. That really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And it sometimes, and we got to realize that some of those things aren't bad, but there's a balance. There's a balance in we're a child of God. We need to be focusing on godly things and be a Christian as we should, but also realize that some of those things aren't bad, but let's make sure we balance that, because those things can constantly pull us because we are human. So first it talks about fighting amongst ourselves in the church. You know, God designed the church to be people of unity, being together, believing in Him, helping each other out, encouraging one another. And as I stated, I don't think He's just talking to unbelievers, but also believers who are being pulled from this, from God, by the world. So now let's look at, let's start in verse 1 and let's kind of work our way through this passage. But first, before we start, let's look at one passage here that I had written down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? They don't mesh. Good and evil do not mesh. And we got to realize that we're not of this world. Satan is of this world. We have no part with this world. We need to be a separate from that. Now, let's look at verse 2 through 4 of James. Turn back over to James. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 4. Let's look back through that as well. So as we talked about quarrels and fights amongst us, now verse 2 through 4, James is talking about how conflicts and fights in the church, or even just daily with our brothers, not just in the church, it results because of one thing. It's what we want. Is what we want, which is exactly what the world wants, what the world's way of thinking is. What we want and our selfish desires is exactly what the world is thinking as well. And ultimately, the devil controls the world and things of the world. That's what the devil wants as well. And these are true causes of contentions and strifes and covetousness, as it's stated in James. Pride, vain confidence. And this conflict that he's describing here about the church is what happens in the life of a believer. Sometimes we have these struggles and we need to fight that. And this is also the conflict between our service to God, but also the desires for other things of this world. We are of the flesh. We need to remember that. The world is always pulling against us. Now, the problem occurs, verse 1 through 4, going into verse 4, is because these are things that we want only for ourselves. And these problems are not only going to happen in just the church, but our personal lives and our personal pleasures above our desire for God's righteousness and His kingdom. Another point I want to look at is, so we might covet something, meaning we might want something else that somebody has. What will that end up doing to us when we start to covet something that somebody else has? It's going to lead us into conflict with others. It's going to lead to that strife and conflict that James is describing to us. We need to focus on what God wants, not what we want. That's the world controlling us. That's the flesh coming in and telling us one thing. When we need to focus on what God is telling us, it's going to bring us closer to Him, have a closer relationship with Him. So when I first read these verses, you know, I did think he was directing it towards unbelievers. But I kind of think now that it's a little bit of both. Let's turn over, if you will, to John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. This is another passage talking about what we will reap when we do associate with worldly things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. God can't be a part of worldly things. And we can't have both. When we want to be with God, we are only with God. We can't hold on to a little bit of the world. Also, turn just one page over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. As I stated earlier, Satan controls the whole world. And this is what I had in my notes here. We can't have 99% of God and 1% of Satan and the world in our hands. That doesn't work. God just said he has zero to do with the world. God does not have anything to do with Satan. He does not have anything to do with the devil. We're either 100% on God's side or we're of the devil. We're on the world's side. It can't be 99% and 1%, 100% God. We need to be on his side and submit to him. Now, before this transition, James also tries to get readers and us to understand that God did make us humans. He made us flesh. So we're going to have those natural desires. I want to keep stating that because not all of these things are wrong, because we are human. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have those desires, but he put a soul in us, a spirit in us. And God wants and fights for us to be on his side, because he created all of us. He wants us to be his children. That's all that he wants for us. He wants what's best for us. But here, this transition, and also this is one of my favorite parts of this of these verses, is he gives us the best ways of why we have no reason to be a part of this world. When he, verses 6 through 10, when he gives us these ways of why we should submit to him, we have no reason to be a part of this world. Zero reason. Because the life of a Christian is better. So much better. And God gives us a reason why. So now let's dive in to verse 6 here. This is the transition I was talking about. How we're trying to devote our lives fully to God. But being of the flesh means that we do have struggles. And that's where God's grace comes into play. Let's read verse 6 again. Let's actually read verse 6 through 10 of James chapter 4 again. I know you're probably in 1 John. So, sorry if you didn't follow me there, but turn over to James chapter 4 again. Let's go ahead and read verse 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Actually, let me stop there. As we read through these, let's focus and keep in mind on some commands that God gives us, okay? Let's start in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Turn over, if you will, to another passage, Romans chapter 5. I want us to go ahead and try to gear our minds towards this transition here from the world to godly things. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I think I only have two more passages that are out of James. I hope your hands aren't hurting just yet, but I don't have very many more. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. It reminds me, that passage reminds me of the hymn, "Grace is greater than all of our sins." Where sin is, where evil is, grace abounds even more. His grace is greater than the power of sin, than the power of our fleshly desires, than the world, than of Satan. God's grace is so much greater than all of those things that try to pull us away from being a child of God. So who is going to be able to obtain that grace God offers? Is it those unbelievers? Is it the world that's trying to pull us? They don't want that. They don't want God's grace. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 reads, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Humility. Those who are humble and humble themselves will inherit His grace. Those who are Christians and a child of God will inherit that. And God wants that for us. He wants it for all of us. But we need to choose. We need to make that decision. Now also, James is going to follow up this as we transition here, enlisting some commands from God. I want us, just if you'll bear with me, I want us to look at what it means to be humble and have an attitude of Christ. This is, now these verses here, the 6 through 10 in James chapter 4, this is on God's side of things. This is what He wants for us and what we should want as well, because He offers something better. We can kind of, and how I summed up all of these commands that God lists is what James lists is God wants us to submit to Him unconditionally. As I looked through these, I found around 10 of commands that God gives for help our actions and our attitude to draw closer, to draw near to God, and further from this world that pulls us away from Him. So just briefly, I want to run through these 10 that I noticed throughout this passage, verse 6 through 10 of James. And if you're not there, you can go ahead and turn there, and you can kind of follow along and look at each one that I listed. There is at least one per verse, maybe two in another verse, but as I go, just follow along with me. There might be three in one of the verse, but if you're already there, just go ahead and try to pick out those words as I state them, and maybe you can follow along with me as we cover this briefly. So the first one I found is starting in verse 7. He talks about submitting yourselves to God. Resist is the second one. Drawing near was the third I found. Cleanse, purify, being wretched, mourn, weep, your laughter, and then finally humbling yourselves, being humble. So submitting, we all know what that means, but let's think about it as it describes us Christians and those who are wanting to be in the body of Christ, submitting to God, submitting to His authority. True humility in someone is going, someone who is truly humble is going to obey His commands. All right, let's look at the second one here, resist. We're either under Satan's rule or we're under God's. Just like I said before, 99% Satan or the world, 1% God, 99% God, 1% Satan. We can't have both. We have to be on one side or the other. You know, I think I meant to say this earlier, but we go to Oakland Church of Christ, and we had a preacher a few years ago Jeff May, y'all might be familiar with him. He made this example that I loved, and it stuck with me. But he drew a line on the board, and he put a dot to where you were that was on that line. Then he put one over here that was for on the devil's side, and then on God's side. And he said, even if you're just touching that line, and you want to just hold on a little bit of the fence, you're still on the devil's side. You're still of the world. You can't have it both ways. If you're on the other side of that fence, on God's side, then you're good. But it does. You can't get. Don't try to get as close as you can to that line. To as close as you can to that fence. Stay as far away as you can from it, because it tries to pull us. The world does. All right, so we need to resist. We're submitting, and then we resist. Let's look at drawing near. Not only do we submit to God and resist the devil, but when we do that, we need to then draw near to God. Draw near to Him, because He will help us have communion with God, with Him. He will help us have an ultimately a love relationship with God, a better relationship. All right, so the fourth one, cleansing ourselves, cleansing your hands. As we know, in the Old Testament, the priests had to clean their hands before they went into the holy place and approaching God. Before they approached God, they had to have clean hands. Same as us. When we're approaching God, we need to confess our sins. We need to make sure we're being cleansed of those when we approach God. All right, now let's look at purity. Purifying ourselves. Not only the cleansing of hands would be physically, but here the purity is talking about the spiritual cleansing, the cleaning of the heart, purifying us, cleaning our insides out, purifying the heart, okay? Now the next one was being wretched. Being wretched is somebody who is in a state of truly being broken over their sin. They're truly contrite over their sin, having a contrite heart, and truly broken. And then this next one, mourn, is having a broken and contrite heart over our sins, but mourning is going to be that inner response that we have. Briefly, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly griefs produce a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. He's talking about the spiritual, the godly grief that we need to have. Mourning, an inner response, an inner mourning that we have coming to God. And then the next one is weep that he talks about. We all know what weeping means. It's not the same thing as more. It's an outside showing of our inner sorrow. It's an outside showing of how we've mourned for our inner response, mourning. Weeping is an outside action showing that we are weeping over our sin. And then in the next one that I noticed was laughter. You know, this was kind of confusing to me. I didn't really know what he meant on this one, but laughter is using here as someone who is participating in the worldly pleasures. Okay, they're laughing, and they're like, "Well, I don't care about anything. I'm just of the world and the worldly pleasures. So, you know, I'm just going to laugh it off. I don't have any care of what God has to say." Well, James calls them to mourn. To gloom. He's calling them to go and realize what they are doing. And then finally, the last one is where a lot of us are familiar with that verse, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. It's quoted in a lot of, you don't have to turn there, but even in Matthew, Matthew chapter 23 in verse 12, he talks about, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, another verse, there's plenty of verses that's talking about God exalting the humble. And this command is summing up all of these attitudes that I just talked about. All of these nine ones, humbling yourselves, is talking to summing all those up to help us have a better attitude, a humble attitude, a truly humble person, so we can follow these commands, trust in Him, trust in God, because He lists all of these to help us have a better relationship, help us draw closer to God, away from the world. And as we saw in all these commands, this is how we're going to accept the grace that God offers us, by being humble, following all the commands that He gives us. And in conclusion, I just want us to remember that we are a child of God. We are children of God. We're set apart from this world. Sometimes it is going to pull at us. It is going to try to bring us away from the life we are supposed to live. But if we follow His commands, if we submit ourselves to God, He's going to help us live a righteous life. He promises us that He will help us. He's always going to give us a way to escape the devil and the worldly pleasures. Let's gravitate towards that. There are so many reasons He just gave us to not be focused on the world. Romans 12, verse 1, we're all familiar with that. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not let this world start to consume you. Hold fast to God. Do not let this world discourage us. We need to keep fighting. We need to keep submitting to His will. Don't be discouraged. There are plenty of Christians around the world, everywhere. We don't know it, but there's plenty out there. And we need to be strong in the faith. And finally, we will be rewarded when we are. I'd like to thank all of you for your good attention this morning, all who came out here. And if there's those who have not become a Christian,